International Day of the Girl, Empowerment, Merhuis, and an imam who talks about Jesus? Hey, this is Father Voskan. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between all of those events, as well as a lot more. This is episode number 540 of The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan. Here, Father Voskan provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchise members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
There is a song that I've heard for many, many years, decades now. It's called Locomotive Breath. And it's about a train that just doesn't slow down. And honestly, for the last 50 years, I've never felt like I'm on board that train until just this past week. I mean, we go from event to event to event, and there's no slowing down. I mean, look at our summer where we started off for celebrating the 100th anniversary of Sardarabad, the Velvet Revolution, a new primate on the East Coast. We get out to the Poconos, share some time with the Malankara Church. We get out to Utah, go to Yellowstone, share the great blessing up there. Come down, we have the Boise trip, the New York trip, and it just doesn't slow down. And so it is with this past week, too. I guess I'm saying all this because I'm trying to put sense on how I put together a little diagram of how the show is going to go every week. And I'm looking at all the things that I want to cover in today's show. And I'm going, how are we going to get through this? More importantly, how are we going to connect the dots? And you know, in these diagrams that I put together every week, there's always a few dots that are left out. And I was thinking the other day, what I should do is just like do an end of the year of all the leftover dots, sort of like a potpourri category in Jeopardy. You know, we just like all the extra dots. But for today, I mean, I want to share with you so much. Today happens to be the International Day of the Girl. Yes, it's Girls' Day. Throughout the world, international because the United Nations has designated as that. Michelle Obama, in her first appearance since she left the White House as First Lady, public appearance, let me say it that way, addressed this issue of educating the young girls. We have the Merhuis, a very important program, coming up this Sunday, a concert fundraiser. I want to share with you some thoughts about that because, you know, it's one thing when we talk about what we need to do. It's another thing to actually do it. It's another thing to support it. So that's coming up. I'm going to use that in the second portion of today's show. But for right now, I want to start off with where I left you off last week. Okay? Last Thursday was the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. Now, let me do this disclaimer. All the saints up to, let's say, all the saints of the Universal Church, of the Catholic Church, up until the Council of Ephesus, all of those saints are universal saints. They belong to all of us. Now, after the Council of Chalcedon, 451, then in the 11th century, the great division between East and West, and certainly the Roman Catholic Church, what's called the Roman Catholic Church, continued to canonize different saints. The Eastern Orthodox continued to canonize. And what we saw an example of it just a few years ago when the Armenian Church canonized the martyrs of 1915. So each of the churches has their own set of saints. And they canonize a group of people, sometimes individual saints. The Roman Catholic Church is probably the one that we're most familiar with because of numbers, you just hear about them. They make popular news. Like, for instance, the Armenian Church canonized the martyrs of 1915. Well, that doesn't make world news. But when Mother Teresa is canonized within the Roman Catholic Church, of course, that hits the international, it has international repercussions. So people hear about it. They say, oh, well, the Roman Catholics have a saint, Saint Teresa of Calcutta. In this case, we're going to talk about Francis of Assisi. Now, yeah, some hardliners can come up and say, well, he's not a saint of our church. Okay. But is he a saint? Well, you have all kinds of definitions, but, you know, the church recognizes it. The universal church recognizes a set of saints. And certainly, if you look at Saint Francis of Assisi's life and the grounds on which he was canonized, you could see that basically there wouldn't be an objection. In other words, if the church was united, if it was one universal church, and you looked at the life of St. Francis of Assisi, there's no reason why the Armenian church, the Greek church, the Eastern Orthodox, anybody would reject it. But technically, Francis of Assisi is a saint of the Roman Catholic Church. Last Saturday, we took our family pet to the local Roman Catholic Church, where they had the service of blessing the animals on St. Francis of Assisi's feast day, because he is the patron saint of the animals. And I've got to tell you, what a beautiful service. We took our dog, and it was just the local, you know, neighborhood, people from the neighborhood, bringing their different animals, nothing exotic. There was a lot of dogs, a few cats, a couple bunny rabbits, and we circled the priest, who stood in the middle. He prayed, he read scripture. The scripture that he cited was from Genesis, where God gives the right for man to name the animals, and therefore he asked each of us to pronounce the name of our animal, which we did, and then he proceeded to bless them with holy water. I have to tell you, it was just beautiful. It was down to earth. It made sense. You know, you can see something there. And listen, this is the beauty of saints. Each saint gives us an opportunity to view life from different perspectives. And probably more pronouncedly, in the case of St. Francis of Assisi, lets us understand that we inhabit this earth with other life forms. And these other life forms have been given by God. And we have to respect these other life forms. As we see in his prayers, his incantations, you know, he writes about Brother Moon, Sister Sun. I'm sorry if I misquoted him, but you get the idea. I'll definitely, definitely refresh myself. I've read his books. I've read about him. And you realize that here is a man of God who understands himself as part of that creative process, because he understands himself as a creation of God. It was so down to earth. And let me tell you, on top of it all, it was humbling. Because to see the priest blessing the animals, you understand that the priest is here as servant, and his humility showed through that service. I was very impressed by it. It was a beautiful, beautiful service. Now, from there, we jumped over, and many of you know that this Saturday I'm going to be speaking at the Glendale City Church. This is a Seventh-day Adventist church. A gentleman named Johnny Ramirez Johnson, who teaches anthropology at Fuller Theological Seminary and a member of the Glendale City Church, has invited me to be the speaker. We're going to be talking about a new world, Abrahamic faiths, hopes for salvation. That's this Saturday. Now, what's interesting about it is that they picked three different traditions, Abrahamic traditions. Well, there are only three Abrahamic traditions, right? There's Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Okay, these all have their roots in Abraham. So they're called Abrahamic faiths. So he picked an imam to speak from the Islamic point of view. He picked a priest to speak on behalf of Christians, and he picked a rabbi to speak on behalf of Judaism. So the priest happens to be me. Interesting, right? Interesting because, well, think about it this way, right? In Jerusalem, there's four quarters to the ancient city. There's the Christian quarter, not the Catholic quarter. There's a Christian quarter. There's the Jewish quarter. But the fourth quarter is the Armenian quarter. It's the Armenian quarter. Like, you have the Christian quarter, the Muslim quarter, you have the Jewish quarter, and the Armenian quarter. And in this sense, we have three of the Abrahamic traditions speaking. We have the Jewish, the Judaism, we have Christian, and we have Islam. And the Armenian priest is representing Christianity. Well, rightly so, right? Because when you go to Christianity, you want to go to the roots. You want to go to the most ancient of ancients. You want to connect the dots. So you go to the Armenian. Why? Because apostolic. Not only founded by the apostles, but continues the work of the apostles, continues that apostolic tradition. So I'm very honored that I'm going to be speaking this Saturday. But the first speaker was an imam from the Islamic Educational Center of Orange County. His name is Imam Sayyid Mustafa Al-Kazwini. I will definitely put a link on today's show notes so you can see the entire program. But here's what got me. Okay, so we've left the St. Francis event, and already you're thinking about, like, in the Christian world, how there are so many similarities and opportunities for us to reach out to one another. I'm thinking of St. Francis of Assisi's prayer, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. I'm going to an event where an imam is going to address a group of us about Islam and wondering what he's going to talk about. And all the while, the entire topic of this is called A New World, Abrahamic Faith's Hopes for Salvation. Salvation. Well, let me read to you what this is about, because it's pretty wild. I'm very honored that I'm going to be part of this. Let me read to you before I tell you what the imam said. That's going to surprise you, okay? Yeah, hold your horses right now. It says, in expectation of God's promised intervention, the prophetic words of Abrahamic faiths describe a savior figure who will inaugurate a worldwide government of justice, peace, and love. In this series, we will focus on our hope in our salvation. What can we do to prepare ourselves for the ending of this current world order and the beginning of the new? What can we do to prepare our flawed and broken world today for a world of justice, ecological balance, and peace tomorrow? Join us as we follow in the faithful footsteps of our father Abraham and listen again to our prophets as they teach us how to live and act on our journey towards the promised land. Wow! Isn't that great? I mean, we're looking to religion, we're looking to faith for an answer. For a change too, right? And I mean that for a change expression in both ways. For a change in the way we're looking, and we're looking for it for a change in our lives. I mean, what's happened today in the world is that we've gotten to believe that politics, that wars are the only ways that we can resolve things. And if you've been listening to this podcast, you know one of the basic fundamental cornerstones of the next step is that we can do something because of our faith. We don't need to pick up guns. We don't need to appeal to courts. We can do something with the power, with the positive energy of love. At least we need to try it. This is what we believe. This is what we need to try. And so for me, this is exciting. And yeah, you know, we have been marginalized. In this world, politics has taken over. Things have taken over because we've been so marginalized because of weird things that come out of our mouths sometimes. The world is only 3,000 years old because Adam and Eve were created 3,000 years ago. What are you guys talking about? What are you talking about? Even Amos McCoy knows that that's not true. What are you guys talking about? We try to bring out these stories from, you know, because at some point people believed we were a geocentric. The Earth was the center of the universe. They had no knowledge that we were floating around the sun. The sun was going around. Thing that these the cosmos were billions of years old. Instead, we want to adapt it to a few words that were written for the times. And so people look at it and they say, well, of course, if you guys are going to believe this, then we're going to marginalize you. And so this is what's exciting about what's going on with this latest conference, with this latest presentation. We're appealing to the church. We're appealing to people of faith. And so there we were in Glendale, and the imam got up and he spoke. What do you suppose he spoke about? Remember, this is about salvation. It's about finding a savior. He spoke about Jesus. Yeah, no, you heard me right. He spoke about Jesus. The imam spoke about Jesus. He talked about how in Islamic text, in the Quran, how there is a chapter or a section, I don't know the vernacular, there's a section dedicated to Mary. And Mary, the holiness of Mary. And then Mary, and he recounted, he read to us the Annunciation to Mary, the virgin birth, all believed by Islam. Then at the very end, he talked about the community there, namely to the group that had gathered. He says, you need to continue to believe in Jesus. You need to believe in Jesus. Don't stop. There's nothing different that I'm going to tell you. And it was so interesting, so different from what we thought he would be speaking about, that at the end, the pastor of the church got up and he confessed. He got up and he said, you know, in preparing for today's talk, today's lecture, he says, I have received many calls, many messages, many texts from people who are irate, people who are saying, you don't know how diabolical this is, how deceptive this is that you're inviting this man into our church to share his message. And the pastor confessed, he says, I think after hearing the imam, those same people are probably going to be messaging him, texting him and saying, why don't you, our pastor, speak about Jesus the way the imam did? It was funny at the moment, but it's a very important statement that perhaps what we need to do is start looking at some of the similarities, not what divides us, but what brings us together. And Imam said it so beautifully at the beginning of his talk. He says, we as faith, as Abrahamic tradition, we are united in a faith. What separates us is the politics. Now, I go on the record saying, yeah, it's a little bit different. I don't believe that we are united in the faith because the fundamental premise of the faith is a little bit different. Not completely. I mean, there's some basic strands, you can say, that can parallel. But the basic premise of Christianity is that Jesus Christ is God. Now, that's one statement that is unique to the Christian church, but I'll tell you who it's even more unique to. Inside of Armodoxy, inside of the Armenian Orthodox Church, that's a pronouncement that we make. I was speaking with Father Daniel just a few weeks ago, and he said that Archbishop Dinon had taught him that. And it was a really interesting revelation that Yes, in the Christian church, we believe that Christ is God, Jesus is God. But it's only Armenians that in their prayer, they pronounce it. Christos Astvadzmer, Christ our God. Countless prayers begin with Christos Astvadzmer, Christ our God. So it's going to be my challenge, really, is to talk to this group and present what I understand, what our church understands as the Christian message, where that hope is, where that salvation is, and where that Savior is. And let me tell you, I'm going to really be pushing the envelope on this one, because I have an opportunity to speak to a group of people that are hungering for this and want this. You've been listening to me. Yes, my next step is you've been listening to me. So I guess it won't be too new to you, because it'll be a lot of the concepts that we talk about over here on the next step. But listen, if you are in the Los Angeles area, please do come and be there this Saturday, October 13th. It's at 11 in the morning. And here's something even better. If you're not in the area, you go to the Glendale City Church Facebook page, and they will be streaming it. And actually, they streamed, and now it's been archived on their Facebook page last week, so you can hear Imam's presentation in its entirety. And this Saturday morning, 11 o'clock Pacific time, we're in the Pacific time zone, okay? You can see the stream, and I'm sure it'll be up there. It'll be archived on their Facebook page. So do check it out. And like I said, I'm very honored, and I have so much to share with you next week, because I'll be coming back from that one. And hopefully, like I said, we can find some time to just take a breather and process some of these things. But like I said, you know, what's important is that we're understanding solutions come from faith. Did you catch some of Charles Osnavour's funeral? 94-year-old Charles Osnavour. We talked a little bit about it in the last couple weeks, and we had a Hokianki's Requiem service. But did you get a chance to watch the funeral on TV, or it was broadcast on the internet? Wherever you saw it, it was interesting, because it was a state funeral, and the Catholicos of all Armenians was there. He just stood on the sidelines. Now, France is very secular, and you know that they're a very secular group. Later on in the church, they had a church service, and the Catholicos presided over that. But at the secular service, the Catholicos was on the side, and the secular, the men of state spoke. And it was exactly what I'm talking about right here. The church is to one side. We don't need to interfere with what's going on in the world. It was an interesting juxtaposition of not only the people that day, but also these events in our lives. And I'm bringing this all together because we're finding common ground that are connecting dots, right? At the funeral, the church is to one side. In life, we put the church to one side. And today, when we have an opportunity to speak about what the world is doing, what we can do to influence and impact the world, we have to take that seriously and not just go by this mythology that is dated and has its place, has its purpose, but it certainly alienates and marginalizes the church. Now, we're going to take a break right now, okay? And when I get back, we're going to talk about the International Day of the Girl. Happens to be today. I'm going to talk also about Merhuis, this beautiful place where young girls are saved, literally saved. So before we do that, this Saturday happens to be the Feast of the Holy Translators. It is a very, very, very special feast for me. I think I've shared this in the past when I've gone, I think it was 2009. It was my first time back to Armenia since my seminary days. And I had a chance to visit many, many different places. It wasn't until I got to Oshagan, where I was at the tomb of Mesrop Mashtots, where I totally broke down. And I realized that importance of Mashtots' place inside of Armenian Christian history. That the translation of Christianity to our people was our salvation. wild. Anyway, this Saturday happens to be Sirpots Tarkmanchats, the Holy Translators. And it's a group of translators that span seven centuries. So they weren't contemporaries, but they did one thing. They translated the faith. Now, in respect to that, I happened to stumble, literally stumbled, upon this CD today. It's called A Mass for the Youth. It's the Holy Divine Liturgy, but it has been translated, written for youth in contemporary Armenian. I just became familiar with it a couple hours ago, and it's been, I haven't given it too much time, but I did pick out one of the songs that I'm going to play for you right now. It's Christosi Mech Med Haidnetsov. Christ has been revealed among us. Now, what they've done is that they've translated the ancient text to contemporary Armenian and then have a corresponding melody. So it's a different melody, different words, actually same words, but new translation, okay? And I'll tell you a little bit more about it when we get back. Just listen up, and I hope you enjoy it. It's on this feast of the Holy Translators. The group is the Children's Choir Nor Zarig, New Flower. Christos Mermech, Christ in our midst, is the song we just heard, the hymn that we just heard. And as I said a few minutes ago, it is in contemporary Armenian with a new melody to correspond to it. Let's see, the composer of this is Arek Lusinyan. I'm just reading off of the CD notes. The CD was produced in 2017, and the children's choir is called Nor Zarig. Composer Arek Lusinyan, conductor Elizabeth Bedghouni Harboyan, and the organist is Talar Harboyan Kaloglian. So let me put a link on today's show notes so you could become more familiar with it. And I'm sure that in the months to come, I'll be sharing some more of the songs. I was very impressed by it. I thought it was just beautiful that they took a stab at it to really bring the beautiful sacred divine liturgy to the youth in an accessible format. And God bless them for doing this work. Like I said, check out our show notes for more information about the Mass for the Youth.
They grow their roses red and paint our skies blue. Drop one penny. Make half the beggars lose. Why do the faithful have such a will to believe in something and call in the name they choose, having chosen nothing?
International Day of the Girl, a UN proclamation. Today, woke up with this news. Actually, we woke up to the news that Michelle Obama, first time since leaving the White House as First Lady, she made a public appearance where she was defending the young girls. And so today happens to be, by United Nations decree, the International Day of the Girl Child. And Michelle Obama was with these young girls. And the theme of this 2018 celebration is for her, a skilled girl force. Today's generation of girls are preparing to enter a world of work that is being transformed by innovation and automation. Educated and skilled workers are in great demand, but roughly a quarter of young people, most of them female, are currently neither employed or in education or training. I guess the neither applies to that, are neither employed or in education or in training. Okay. Of the 1 billion young people, including 600 million adolescent girls, that will enter the workforce in the next decade, more than 90% of those living in developing countries will work in the informal sector, where low or no pay, abuse, and exploitation are common. October 11th, International Day of the Girl. We are working alongside all girls to expand existing learning opportunities, chart new pathways, and calling on the global community to rethink how to prepare them for a successful transition into the world of work. Now, this was news to me that there was such a day, that there was such a day that celebrated or was dedicated to the girl child. And it was it just rang so close to my heart, because we're getting ready this Sunday. We're going to have a big concert fundraiser for Merhuis, which is a program dedicated to young girls, specifically in Armenia. And this is going to take place in Thousand Oaks, which is a small town just outside of Los Angeles, or actually Calabasas, excuse me. It's going to take place in Calabasas. It's another small town just outside of Los Angeles. But Merhuis is dedicated to reaching girls from severely disadvantaged lifestyles. It's a residential program that takes place in Yerevan, and it teaches these young girls the skills needed to leave productive adult lives and to make positive decisions for themselves and their future. And I had a chance to visit Merhuis on a couple of occasions, but my first time there, we went as a group as part of our pilgrimage back in 2014. There we met the girls, we met with administrators, with staff, and you walk away so impressed because it's a professionally run. It is run from here in America. Judge Adrian Krikorian runs the nonprofit from over here and meticulously watches every step of the administration of how it runs. And it shows. It shows because it is just, there's no other word for it except professional. And you realize that the girls that are in this program, they're getting the best education. Severely disadvantaged. They come from broken homes. They come from families that are some. We met one girl whose mother was a prostitute, and she was on that same road, if not for Merhuis. And when you realize that right now in this world, especially when you hear the stories coming out of the United Nations about the plight and the destiny of young girls, you realize that in Armenia we're not excluded, because there are people that will take advantage. There are people that will exploit these most precious and innocent young girls. And there at Merhuis, by the way, Merhuis means our hope. They are our hope. And at Merhuis, at this home, these girls were protected, a safe environment. They were getting meals. Most importantly, they were getting an education. An education that was beyond just the reading, writing, and arithmetic. An education in life. An education of that empowered them. And that word empowerment is so important, especially when it comes to girls, because these are the easiest victims. These are the easiest ones to fall prey to victims, to fall prey to the evils that lurk all around us. And I was very impressed. And since the moment that I went there, I said that, you know, In His Shoes, this has to be one of the programs that In His Shoes supports and is there. So we're very proud sponsors of this Sunday evening's concert. Now, let me also share with you that this also takes place during the week we had the Kavanaugh hearings. I spoke briefly about it over the last couple of weeks. I mean, when I say briefly, it's to the extent that I wanted to within the context of what we do, within the scope of what we do here at Next Step. But last Saturday, amongst all of the other things, also Kavanaugh was... Yeah, that's right. We went from St. Francis of Assisi, we went to hearing the imam. Yes, Kavanaugh was selected as the next Supreme Court justice, and I believe it was on that same day that he was sworn into office. Like, before anybody could change their mind, let's get him in. Let's swear him into office. And I got an interesting email from a friend who said, my daughter's in Washington, D.C. She's protesting what's going on. And you could tell, as a father who's writing to me and he's sharing his thoughts, you could tell that he's concerned. His daughter's over there. He's also proud that his daughter is empowered enough to go and share and protest this message. And you know, that empowerment's a big deal. Yes, women, education, to be empowered. And I guess it meant a little something more to me because the following day I was at an Armenian church, and there again we were presented with that predicament where there was a forced effort to put veils on girls, young little girls coming up to receive the sacrament, were forced to put on this little head covering. And I want you to ask yourself, what are we saying subconsciously? What are we teaching? Why can a guy just walk up to the sacrament, hands in his pocket, and just take it, while a girl has to go with this head covering, this head ornamentation, against what Scripture says? Where Scripture says, St. Paul says, women, your head covering is your hair. Yeah, there it is. It's in black and white. It's right there. But no, for some reason, well, we know the reasons, right? Under Islamic law, under Islamic rule as Armenians, we lived under the Ottoman Empire. A lot of the traditions seeped over. A lot of these kind of anti-women traditions seeped over into our culture. And we do it. Now, you can argue all you want, but there is a message that is being sent to the children. You can't tell your children that your education is leading you to be empowered in your life, but there is a difference between you and that young man over there as far as you're in the presence or in God's sight. Don't quote to me any of this stuff like, yes, there is a difference. I very well know that there is a difference between a boy and a girl. I know that there are differences between the genders. But I'm talking about in the presence of God. Aren't we all equal? Yes, what does St. Paul mean when he says there is neither Jew nor Greek? There is neither male nor female. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ Jesus. In other words, in the presence of God, aren't we just people? And I think as people of the traditional church, the ancient church, these are the dialogues, these are the expressions that we need to have. I know that my dear friend Hrach Chilingirian in London is organizing a talk about women in the church this week. And if you happen to be out there, do stop by. I will definitely put a link on today's show notes to that event. And I believe it's coming up this week. I'm not sure, but I saw it and I'm saying, God bless him. that we're keeping this in the forefront, that we need to talk about it. We need to express it. Several months ago, we were at a wedding and somebody came up to me and said, Father Voskin, he says, what is this about women can't go up on the altar? When will the Armenian church allow them to go up to the altar? And I was just about to answer the guy when my wife, Susan, just nudged me and said, just let it go. Later on, I asked her, I said, why did you say that? She said, don't you get it? It's just conversation. And she was absolutely right. For too many people, these are just convenient talk. This is just another thing to talk about. Hey, did you see the ball game? What did they do? What score did they give? How come women aren't allowed at the altar? Do you really care? Well, I do. To me, it's personal. It's real. It's half of our population that is excluded from doing God's work in a manner that that men do, that men are given that opportunity. Now, listen to me really carefully. I'm not saying let's go change the rules. We're not there yet. But where we are right now is at least to have the discussion, at least to look, at least to inspect, to say, what are we following? What are the things that are important in our lives? We're not talking about principles. I'm not taking away that God is half man, half woman, and I'm not talking about obscure things like that. I'm not talking against the Trinity. I'm talking about how do we approach God? What are our functions? Why have women been excluded? What's the history behind it? Well, you start finding that there's reasons. There's reasons that have to do with community, that have to do with society, because of norms, because of places. Isn't it interesting that just a few years ago, people wouldn't talk about homosexuality? Isn't it interesting that just a year ago, if you talked about homosexuality, just a year ago within the Armenian church, you were shunned and banned, and yet just a week ago at the funeral of Charles Aznavour, a singer who was the first person to come up with a song that celebrated homosexual love, that he was praised. He was praised and he was talked about as somebody whose values are important. Yes, listen to what was being said within the Armenian church, the same church that excluded, that shunned people that talk about homosexuality. Case in point, I was there. And yet today, Charles Aznavour is buried as a son of the Armenian church, which he rightly should be, but he's also buried as somebody whose values are important in bringing people together. Things change. Things are moving. Things are evolving. And I'm not saying to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm saying let's talk about the bathwater. You know what that expression is? I sometimes use these expressions, and I don't know if they're archaic or not. But in the olden times, really old, no, this is even older than me, there would be one bathwater for the entire family. And the father would take a bath, the wife would take a bath, the children would take a bath. The last person to take a bath in that water was the baby, after which the water was thrown out. So be careful not to throw away the baby with the bathwater. In other words, there's a function there for the water. You don't want to lose what you have as well, the child that you have as well. We have this beautiful tradition. But does it have room for change? Can it change? Can it survive change? Absolutely. It is the body of Christ. It is led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is demanding today that we talk about these things. Why? Well, look at Medhuis. Look at these young children. They're being empowered over there. Does it make sense to empower them and then to tell them, oh, wait a minute, but in the church, you have no power? What happens at that point? The church becomes irrelevant. What were we talking about earlier? We were talking about why the church has lost its relevance, why people will appeal to politics rather than the force of religion and faith. Because we're talking about archaic things and people are moving forward. We don't have a right to do that to the children. We don't have a right to do that to people. We've got to get with the program. Christ came and spoke on very real terms. He spoke to us directly. He spoke about the real kingdom of heaven is at hand, about the importance of getting along with one another, of cherishing one another. He revealed himself to men and to women. Most pronouncedly after his resurrection, he revealed himself to women, who in turn brought the message to the disciples, to the apostles. I've heard many, many arguments this way and that way about women in the church. Some of those arguments are archaic. All I'm saying is we're at a point right now where if we're empowering, which is very important, through the education process, let's have faith in that process and understand that where there is knowledge, it is driven by God, that God gives us the wisdom to know the difference between the good and the bad. It's up for us to put that wisdom on the table, to share it, and not be afraid. Not be afraid to let the Holy Spirit move it in the direction it should be moving. Anyway, this happens to be International Day of the Girl. I'm celebrating, and I hope you will too. And I hope you'll take a moment right now to look at our show notes. And if you happen to be in the Los Angeles area this Sunday, please come to this beautiful concert for Merhuis, which is doing so much, really making a difference in the lives. It's a solid way of saying yes. It's a solid way of showing your support for something which is so valuable at this moment. It saves lives. You can have a moment to save lives. You can be part of that process. If you're not in the Los Angeles area, do check out the Merhuis link, and you're welcome to make a donation. I know it will be much appreciated. And make sure that you tell them that you heard it here on The Next Step or through In His Shoes. All right. It also happened to be this past week, International Day of Librarians. So let's take a break right now and listen to our resident librarian, who happens to incredibly produce this show as well. Here's Susie.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you all of you for your support. And take a moment right now, really quickly, to congratulate Susie and say Happy Librarians Day just a week ago. Yeah, we were very impressed because actually the news for that came from Holy Etchmiadzin, where they were celebrating the Day of Librarians. And if you happen not to know, our incredible producer also happens to be the most incredible librarian over at Loyola, at a law school on top of all that. And very proud of her, all the achievements that she's done. So Happy Librarians Day. Hey, listen, before we go today, let me just share with you a couple last-minute announcements. One of them is that I was featured on the Good Life podcast. It just came out. We'll have a link on today's show notes. You could check that out. I got to be honest. I told you last week it was coming out. Never got a chance to listen to it. I still haven't heard it, but from what people have told me, it sounds good. So I'm putting the link on today's show notes. Do check that out. Everything we talked about today will be on the show notes. Do check it out. If you find something that's not there, drop us a line. I love getting email from you. It's called feedback@epostle.net. Well, we've got a lot of things going on. Do check us out at all the usual spots, including all the social media outlets, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You'll find us there, and of course at inhisshoes.org. I asked you last week, and I'm asking you again, please remember us specifically in your prayers. We need them. We're going through quite a bit right now, and some transitional issues as well. So please keep us in your prayers. I know you do, and it means a lot to us that we're so close to your heart. Listen, on behalf of the wonderful team who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off, but I'm top limit.